Welcome back, everyone, to Archercast number 186, the last episode we had with Dan Smith, who will be the second last, the second last in my Nuffield squad. Good to chat to Dan. Dan works for Jamie's Farm, who you may or may not have heard of, is a it's essentially a charity but also business that aims to sort of offer kids in high schools that have had challenging backgrounds. And I said something along the lines of challenging at some point in or subpar, and Dan said, "You have played it down hugely." And he said, "I can't say some of the stuff that these kids have experienced." And just gives them a week on the farm and just allows them to switch off and sort of see a bit of reality, and they try and minimize phone usage. I think they actually don't use phones and all that stuff. So quite a rewarding job in general, but also quite taxing. And Dan's looking at sort of how to find the next generation of regeneration. Which is quite a cool title, in fairness. The next episode we have after today, I don't think I know who it is. I think we're sort of filming this at the end of February, trying to sort of get ahead before my travels around the world. So I don't actually know what number 187 is, I do not think. But today is quite special. And the reason today is special is a few, what would be a month ago now? Yeah, well, it'll be 2 months ago at time of release. We released an episode with Sophie Aplin, Sophie Gregory. She goes by one sometimes and one the other. The farmer in training on Instagram. And the reason that that was quite interesting was she was the first person I'd ever released an episode with twice as an individual guest on the R2 cast. And the reason for that was Sophie's in my Nuffield cohort, and I was speaking to them all, as we just said. And I thought, well, what a perfect time to go for it. So we released that episode, which then opened the gates to, well, there's a lot of great podcasts out there. This has been going longer than 3 years now. Why don't we start sort of doing update episodes? And I set myself a rule of it had to be more than 100 episodes ago, which is give or take a year ago now, which is kind of insane. And the reason today's is so special was not only is it number two of the sort of update podcast, the R2Cast 2.0, shall we say. R2.0 cast. No, that's not going to work. Today's guest was the reason this all started. Before the podcast, I basically phoned some folk up, spoke to them for an hour or so, and wrote a story about them terribly. And basically, with that, I'd done that 26 times, and essentially, I got sick of writing things down. I wanted to just have a chat and actually record the chat itself. And this person, today's guest, was our first ever on that. And that person is Mr. Flavian Obiero. Flavian, would you like to say hello?
Hi, man. I didn't think I was a fast one. Thank you.
Yeah, you were,
It's
man.
been
You
so
were.
long. It's been so long. Actually, I can remember to the day where I was. It was a nice hot day. I was stood in the yard of the old place where I used to work, leaning against this rusty aluminium gate and pacing up and down in the yard whilst kicking bits of straw. Yeah, it's so weird thinking back
Well,
when we first
that's
spoke.
3.5 years ago, more than 3.5 years ago since then. Just before we get started with another episode of the R2 cast, I would like to thank our primary sponsors, Howden Rural, formerly known as A-Plan Rural. Howden are heavily involved in the social media scene in the ag space with over 100,000 followers on Instagram. They use this following to host social media takeovers with farmers throughout the country to showcase their stories, as well as posting to their rural community blog with further articles about these people in the sector. On top of this, they like to support initiatives that are championing the British agricultural industry, such as myself. So thank you to Howden Rural for that. And I
Yeah,
was
it
doing something
was.
similar in fairness on the phone, just walking around and chatting away and hopefully writing as much down as I could in a terribly scrawled bit of paper. And
I'm
then
still holding you to the invite to Aaron. That's
here
still on there. I need to
it's
come up.
It's 100% still there. I saw you were in Oban. Was it last year? Did I see?
Yes, yeah. I went to see a friend up there. Went to Tobermory, like the Ballymore
For
Central.
sure.
There's such a good spot up there. Like I don't get why not many people or not enough people live in Scotland, because oh my God, everywhere you look, it's just the beauty of the countryside up there is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's because we tell everyone it's rubbish so they don't ruin it.
The weather I agree with. Oh, when the sun's out, it's good, but when it's cold out there, No, it's
It
not good.
never gets cold or wet in Scotland, Flav. I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Oh, yeah, he definitely does.
And then fast forward from that discussion about 7 months, we've just realized about 2 minutes ago that if you want to go back and listen to the first episode of the R2Cast, it's R2Cast number 4 with Flav back then. And what we've realized is not the date of release of this episode, that would have been quite scary, but the day of release was the 26th of February 2021. Yes. And today we are filming this on the 26th of February 2024. So it's a bit strange, actually. We didn't realize until 2 seconds before. And we have delayed a couple of times and we almost didn't do tonight. And then we realized here it must be meant to be. Yeah, so no, it's good to see you again, mate, and good to get going again. For those listening, I would advise you go back and listen to that episode. It's a very good one. But for those that are already here and they don't want to jump away, just give us a wee bit of background for the listeners, Flavian. Tell us a wee bit about yourself.
So I am a tenant farmer based in Hampshire, which is south of England. We are about 3 miles away from the English Channel. And we've got a council farm with Hampshire County Council. We're 61 acres of permanent pasture and ancient woodland, or a bit of woodland that no one knows whether it's ancient or not. And stock wise, we have pigs, Tamworth pigs. We've got some goats. We've got some sheep, which are on holiday in Kent at the moment, but they're coming back in 2 weeks. We also have a catering business, Gourmet Hog Kitchen. So we do hog roasts and other bits of catering, like sort of private catering. We're soon to have another project, which I've told Wallace, but I don't want to tell you lot. You're gonna find out soon. So that's cooking. What else do I do? Actually, you mentioned Jamie's Farm. I'm a trustee
I
for
thought
Jamie's
that.
Farm, actually.
Yes,
Yeah,
that's
I'm a
right.
trustee for Jamie's Farm. I think that's it. Do a bit of few things on TV. You might see my mug face on a program or two. Just started a podcast for myself with a couple of friends. So yeah, just keeping busy and enjoying life.
I
I'm
love
also a dad, recent dad. So that's one of the biggest changes since we last spoke. We've got a
it. It is.
5 month old at the
Yeah.
moment. So yeah.
First on my list, tell us about Noah.
Oh, Noah's good, man. He was born in September 29th, so he's going to be 5 months this week. Yeah, he's full of life, and I think since he was born, initially, there was the realization of like, okay, this is it. Like, he can't just go away, and it's like, this is it. This is life now. And then trying to balance, because we'd only been on the farm then about 6 months. So trying to balance running a new farm, working part time, being a dad, as well as being support for Nikki as well. That was tricky. But then I've got better with it now, and I think with everything else going on in agriculture, with the stuff to do with protests, with how social media can be sometimes, and that the intricacies of starting your own business and being self-employed, every time I come to the house and I hold Noah, nothing else matters. In that moment when I'm with him, everything else just goes. It just evaporates. And I enjoy those little breaks of from reality that I have whenever I'm with him. He smiles at me, and it almost like resets everything to factory settings.
Nothing
And
else
yeah,
matters, does it? It's all that matters.
was
That's
yeah,
all that
that's
matters.
it. Yeah, when he was born, he was in hospital actually for 3 weeks, which was quite tough. And again, at that time, I was coming back to the farm to do the basics, feeding, etc., and just going back to hospital. Yeah. At that time, nothing else mattered. It was just him. So it just puts things perspective. Like even now, like when we talk about all farming stuff, the business, this, when you think you've got a little one at home, like I could easily lose everything we have to make sure that he's healthy. And I'd say yes to that. So yeah, it just puts life into perspective very quickly.
Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? We are at the stage, you are now literally at the stage yourself of either friends and sort of our age are getting to the stage of doing adult stuff, which I like to call it.
it's,
Yeah, man,
I'm
it's great.
literally my sister still calls me a man child because I still feel like a child, but now I've got one that I need to look after, which is scary.
Yeah, man, it's cute. I love to see it. I love to see it. You said there, as social media is, what do you mean by that? You said something along the lines of, you know, how social media is these days. What do you mean by that?
Social media is wild, man. Social media is so wild. Like people, you just gotta laugh sometimes because people act as if it's life or death. Like sometimes I ask myself that the way people act on social media and the way people act with followers and like the validation people feel like they get when they've got a number or some sort of colored tick that somehow verifies who you are. I sometimes ask myself a question, and it might sound morbid, but if you died, what percentage of those people on your page would even, not even cry, would even care that you're dead? How many?
Closer to 0% than 1%, genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like when we're on social media, let's use it for the good that it is. Like, let's say, like us two do and many others, sharing our journeys in agriculture, like you with your Nuffield now, like where you live in Arran. Not many people would have seen an area like that. Sharing the good bits whilst discussing about certain topics, supporting each other. But there's no need to be negative online when you know you're probably even going to meet someone that you're being negative to. So for me, like these days, I pick and choose when I engage things because so many times I've gone to type something and I'm like, do I care about the response this person's going to give me? No. Do I have the time to come back to beef with this person? No. Delete. Like it is literally like that. I don't even scroll anymore. Like if I, unless I'm interacting with you via DM or I see something that pops up, I'd probably scroll and say, on Instagram, genuinely, if I scroll down past 10, like 10 posts, I'm bored. And that's not often. So for me, I'll interact with someone. Like if I want to message Wallace, I'll go to your page, I'll search, go to your page and message you or see how you're getting on. Because for me, then on a like a human basis, if you've got a friend or an acquaintance that you deal with that pops into your head, like, oh shit. I've not spoken to Wallace for a while. Go on your page, scroll. I might be liking something you did in 2022, but that's because I'm just checking how you've been. Then I might message you. But the whole thing about just constantly wanting to be on there, wanting to find things to give you, what do they call it, that dopamine loop or whatever it's called. Like there's just so many good things out there happening. You could just go outside, go breathe some fresh air. But yeah. I think the negativity of social media is going to affect, it's going to, is affecting, and it's going to affect a lot of people.
I would just like to quickly interrupt the show for a minute to give you some extra information about our primary sponsors, Howden Rural, the new name for A-Plan Rural. Howden Rural provide bespoke insurance cover for farms and estates. This could be for anything from tractors and machinery to a new exciting diversification venture. Be sure to check out Howden Rural today. I just sometimes wonder what possesses someone to be like, I'm just sitting at home, let's say something completely negative to this person for the most part, normally very little reason. It's such a strange mentality, man.
Like I
Really.
saw on yesterday, I think, or day before yesterday. So, are you seeing Antoine Dupont, the world's one of the world's best players at the moment, left 15th French rugby after the World Cup to go to sevens? And you're seeing like people saying, "Oh, all the spotlight's on him now because it's at Vancouver Sevens. All the spotlight's on him." It's like, why should it not be? He's one of the best players. And then people saying, "Oh, he's not going to make it." So I couldn't help it. I put a comment on there. I said, whilst all you lot are sending negative comments, he's earning money and making his rugby better. So whilst you're sitting at home, whatever you're doing, dissing someone, he's in Canada right now, boosting his profile, earning money, doing what he enjoys, and bettering himself as a player. So who's losing out there? And you see, and I think even on such some posts, you think this can't have a negative comment on it. Like our son now, I was diagnosed with Down syndrome postnatal, and so obviously after that, the shock, whatever, sort of start immersing ourselves in sort of Down syndrome content to learn more about the diagnosis. And you see a post about a child or an adult with Down syndrome, and there's some invalids on there. There's some morons that find an excuse to put a negative comment about someone with Down syndrome. And I'm like, how can human beings have that much sort of negativity in them to comment something negative about someone you don't even know, especially a child, man? I'm just like, oh, do you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I just try and be in this cocoon of not happiness, because I'm being realistic, but this cocoon of being realistic. And like, yes, there are things going to annoy me. Yes, there's things that are going to make me feel happy, but I try my best not to go out of my way to be an asshole. There's so many assholes out there. I don't know whether you can swear on your pod now or not,
I'm
but
on.
there are so many assholes out there.
There absolutely, and like I cannot understand what possesses someone to say something like that, or comment negatively on just someone's post, which is what that is you're saying. Like it's mad, and it has its issues. And like you were saying even at the start about scrolling, Dan Smith, the last episode spoke a wee bit about scrolling and stuff, and I have now, I guess, a sort of side career based on social media, and I have to go on social media to find people to bring on the pod and whatever. And once I've found those people, I would say 10's my limit as well. I'm not doing
Yeah.
it anymore. And I think I'm like, oh, I spend a fair chunk of time on social media. And then sometimes I go onto it and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not doing that thing I used to do. Like I used to even do the not even scrolling, the sort of slide down from the top because one more post might appear. Like that's an addiction. That's an addiction, man. That's insane. So yeah,
So
it's about to get it.
even like with like on your app you can do, or on the phone you can do like a time cap on how long you spend. So my phone gives me a weekly report of how long I spent on social media. And sometimes it's quite high numbers when you look at it. But then I'm like, the times I'm on there, like you're saying, I'm either posting stuff that is, let's say, like a video or what I'm doing on the farm. Then I'd engage with people off the back of that post. But I can count on probably one hand the times I've gone to bed late because I'm scrolling endlessly. Because if I can't sleep, I go to YouTube and watch rugby.
Right, okay.
I'll sit there, make sure the light is dim so Nikki doesn't kick off because my phone's lighting up the room. Sound off, put the rugby on, and I just sit, lay there, and I'll probably end up falling asleep to rugby. So rather than going on social media, because I even something like Twitter honestly is just, oh, it's a cesspit
It's a
sometimes.
cesspit, is the exact
But
word I was about to say, man.
I've got some, I wouldn't say life changing, but I've had such good interactions on there, as well. I'd say the good interaction outweigh the bad. But again, it's what you choose to engage with. Like I'd see a triggering tweet that someone puts out to get attention, and there's so many attention seekers out there. Again, back to the dopamine thing. There's so many attention seekers out there. If I go through that thought process of if I click on this or type on this, do I care about the response I get? No. Have I got the time to come back to check this tweet? No. Like I've two people now on Twitter, two farmers, I've told them, especially on the topic of diversity, I've told them, look, every time there's a tweet about diversity, mainly from Thebe, they'll find any reason to spin it and put a negative comment on there. And I always engage and challenge them. But I've got to a point now, I'm like, look, you're wasting my time. You're wasting your time until you change your mindset and how we can go on from this. I'm happy to talk to you, but until you change your mind, don't message me. I'm not going to block you because I'm an adult, and I'm hoping you as an adult are going to act like an adult and get the hint here, but don't message me. And it just ends there. They keep trying, and I'm like, okay, I'm not reacting to it. And I think for me, that's that helps me, because then the human being you're dealing with in that situation, you hope they're a human being and not I don't know, an idiot. You hope they're gonna learn from that experience and hopefully go home and look in the mirror and slap themselves a little bit and check what's going on in between their ears, if anything.
Unfortunately, the reality for a lot of cases is it's not going to be the case, though, isn't it? You hope, like you say, and maybe my I'm pessimistic on that one, but yeah, I don't know. And just quickly, you mentioned Thebe there. Great guy, great guy.
Thebes a
And
good guy, man.
yeah, for anyone interested in Thebe's story, if you go to R2Cast 175, I filmed one a few weeks ago. We're saying Thebe, that's sort of like part of his name. The name on the podcast is 175 Navaratnam Parthiban.
Parthiban, yeah.
Yeah, go give that check out, because it's Vlav's mentioned him for a reason. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He knows a lot.
Yeah. Let's sort of have a look, Vlav. We've got that podcast there from a few years ago, and all the information there will still hold up. But a lot of things have changed. So I believe when we filmed, well, not I believe. You didn't have your own farm. Were you at Plumpton at that stage? Is that right?
Yes, I was at Plumpton College, yeah. Yeah,
Tell us
that
about
was.
getting your own place. That's a big step. That's cool.
Oh, mate, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Like, the learning curve has been steep, to say the least. But also, the lows have been low, like low. And the highs have been very high as well. So, like, I remember the first pig I took to the abattoir. Actually getting pigs on the farm, that was a long day, because I just my mum, so what did I do that day? So I went to work, where I was working part-time in Basingstoke, so that's an hour from the farm from where we are, and then I had to go from there to pick my mum up because she says she's going to come with me. That was an hour away, and then I had to go via Guildford, which is about 30 minutes from my mum's, to pick up some blue pipe, because I needed a blue pipe for the pigs. Blue pipe is expensive. I nearly spent like 400 quid the night before. And then in my insomnia state in the night, I was on Facebook Marketplace and I found 100 meters of blue pipe, 20 mil for 35 quid, brand new. So I was like, I'm having this. So I drove via Guildford. We went to this, there was this massive house being built. They were just building a swimming pool, but they had extra pipe. They had so much more pipe, but I didn't need the 35, the bigger pipe. So I got this and drove all the way to Kent to pick the pigs up. Then on the way back, my truck was playing up. I had an issue with the radiator, so it kept overheating. So I had to drive with the heating on full. It was 6th of June. Is it
Oh,
6th of
God.
June? Yeah, 6th of June.
Part of June this year was hot as well.
It was boiling. So my mom being Kenyan, mom wears thermals in the summer, so she was loving it. So heating on full chat in a truck, it was like 29 degrees outside. We're going at about 40 miles an hour, some points 20, because every time we went uphill, the truck was struggling. It's like a 7 hour day, man. So but then getting to the farm, now such a good feeling. And then we bought the hog roast company not long after getting the farm. So our first hog roast event we did with the couple that we bought the business from, which was really helpful with them. So that was a pinch me moment as well. I'd say, what other bits? Getting sheep. I've never owned sheep before, off like on my own. So that was amazing. Picking the goats up. I went up to Northallerton to get them. And then on the way back, I got a phone call from the Network Rail saying the pigs are on the railway line. So yeah, there's been a lot of highs, and then lows, I'd say, mental health wise, and that's not to say, because it's a buzzword now, and it's, for me, it's something that, like, growing up in Kenya, you don't really talk about stuff like that, because
Okay.
life is, well, it might be different now, but when I was growing up, life was tough. Like, not for me, around me. So I'd say I had quite a soft upbringing. We had house helps all throughout my childhood. When my sister was born, we had a house help, or like an au pair, to look after my sister. We had an au pair to do like the housework. We had someone to do the gardening. So I was quite lucky. Dad had a barber shop, so every time I needed a cut, I'd just go to the barber shop. Mum had a salon, so it was pretty sweet. Dad had a pub. So I'd never whinge or say about struggles because I had family members that, or have family members that struggle, have friends that struggle. But then looking at it now, just because you're struggling doesn't mean someone else isn't struggling. And your struggle is different to mine. So if I'm struggling, let's say mentally trying to balance being a farmer and a dad, someone saying to me, oh, but yeah, there's people in a war-torn country. That's true, but two things can exist as one at once. I could be here struggling to run a farm, and they could also be struggling running from rebels or whatever. So yeah, I think that's something I had to accept in my head because I've always grown up with saying, oh, I don't want to eat this. Mum's like, oh, there's kids in Ethiopia and I don't have any food. They always used to hear that when I was growing up. And now I'm like, Mum, look, if they don't have food there, that's them. Like, I've got my issue. I don't want to eat pasta, I want to eat rice. But yeah, so the lawyers have been mainly to do with my mental state. But luckily I've got a good network around me, friends, Nikki. But then even when Noah was born, it was getting to a stage that we almost both needed help mentally. And it's just trying to learn how, one, to accept it that you're in that situation, and then secondly, to try and be there as a leaning voice for Nikki, which I might say I did it well. I don't think I did it as best as I could have. If we have another child, I think I'll be better at it. But yeah, other than that, having our own farm is amazing. And I can't wait for Noah to be out there and Nikki to be on it full time. That she helps me every now and again. Well, once a week at the moment, her parents come over and look after Noah. She comes out and helps me. And bless her, every time she's come out, the weather's been shit. So she's not enjoyed any sun, and it's just been right sideways rain and wind. But yeah, looking forward to them being on the farm with me more often.
Here, when you talk about the rain here and all that sort of stuff with the businesses your mum and dad had, you have to wonder why you came. Why'd you leave what sounds so
Mate,
much
oh,
better?
I get it. If we stayed in Kenya, I don't think I would have been. I wouldn't have been a farmer as a professional. I would have farmed because nearly everyone in Kenya has a link to some form of farming or food production, whether it's on a subsistence level, or small scale level like small holding. But I definitely wouldn't have done it as a career. I probably would have gone down towards animal sciences or biomedical sciences like my dad. But yeah, I think it's a blessing in disguise for us to had the opportunity for him to come and work here, for us to join him, and me being in farming and my sister's in the sort of digital sort of creator side. I guess she probably wouldn't have done that if she was still in Kenya. So yeah, it's got its good bits and bad bits, the weather being the main bad bit.
You know, when you mentioned Kenya, the last time we spoke, certainly on record, Flav, I had been to Holland and Iceland, and that was it. Now I have been, I think, about 20 miles from Kenya. I haven't been in Kenya, but
I've seen,
I was in Moshi, in Tanzania.
yeah,
So I'd maybe 50 miles. Nah, probably 20. I'm just
on
looking
the
at the
border.
TV. Nah, I was.
It's not far.
We were in Moshi, but we're also the other side of Kilimanjaro, which is Kenya side.
Yeah.
So maybe 20, 30 miles from Kenya.
Yeah. Maybe next time you get a chance, you should go, man. It's so good.
I'm looking at it. It's my seventh option on the Nuffield trip. Basically, if there's money left, I'm going to try and see what ag education's like in Kenya. I don't know why Kenya
Well,
sprung to mind.
if you need people to put you out, tell me and I'll get some friends to
That's
sort you
amazing,
out.
man. That'd be class.
Yeah.
That'd be class.
Just take your drinking liver with you.
Take my what?
Drinking liver.
Well, here, this is the thing.
If
We're speaking of changing
you...
it. Since I last spoke to you, I've given up drinking.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm very
So am
boring.
I Talking about that, I've been debating it since, I think, since now I was born, and having like the times I was driving to hospital all the time and having to drive on the farm, I don't drink as much. And I don't know, like every time I drink, even if it's one drink, I'm so unproductive the next day. Even if it's honestly, if it's just one beer, I just feel so sluggish. So I think, yeah, I think I might just leave it to when you have a sesh. And even then, you have a session, you need 4 working days to recover, man. Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Apart from one Kilimanjaro lager, because the air host on the flight between Dar es Salaam and Kilimanjaro Airport said I wasn't allowed a drink with this beard if it wasn't beer. So apart from that beer, I haven't drank
Yeah.
since June. So no, I didn't
Oh
really
man,
drink
that's
much
amazing.
before anyway, man. Like I'd never struggled with confidence or anything like that, and I'd probably rather have a lemonade or a Coke or whatever anyway. So
Yeah.
yeah, no, I stopped it. I just sort of gave it up then, but it's not really changed anything for me, to be honest. But
I think for me, I enjoy the taste. Like
yeah.
some, do you get some days I'm just like, I could absolutely ruin a Guinness or a pint of IPA, or and also because I'm social, I can socialize with alcohol, obviously, but like the thought of going to Twickenham without having a few Guinnesses, it just feels weird. So I think I like the fact that I've got control of my love for alcohol. Like I'm sat here, opposite me is what do you call it, the drinks, like a drinks rack. It's
Oh
got
yeah.
whiskeys there or whatever. I've been there, I've not touched them for months because
Yeah.
I'm just not in the mood. And if I like a whiskey, I want to be in the mood. I don't want to waste it. I want to sit there, I don't know, lamp in a corner, lit nice little candle, and have a few sips. Like if you remember way back, I used to do like hashtags for every month for drinking.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
hardly do any now because I'm just like, I can't be bothered to drink.
You
I'm
know,
so
just
tired as well when I get
that's
in.
it. Yeah, there's no time, man. There's no time. Speaking of alcohol, I actually should probably put my first plug to a very grateful, well, no, sorry, I'm the grateful person in this. Someone who's supporting my Nuffield journey. Obviously, the McRobert Trust are the primary sponsors through Nuffield. Howden, who are my primary sponsors of the podcast, have supported greatly as well. And a few other people in the works at the minute, but one person I want to mention, well, not person, one group is Arran Whiskey, in particular Mariella Romano, who is an absolute queen at promoting Arran Whiskey. Obviously Arran, where I'm from, they've just sent me 200 whiskey miniatures that I want to use as thank you to people that helped me on my Nuffield journey. So massive thanks to Arran Whiskey. And if you are a whiskey fan, and this goes out to you as well, Flav, if you are a whiskey fan, check out Arran Whiskey. So yeah, thank you to him, and you'll probably be seeing more of me giving out whiskies in Brazil, Singapore, Japan, Holland, Switzerland, New Zealand, USA, and potentially Kenya. So yeah, thank you to them. But away sort of from, or not away from the farm at all, Flav, very much all based around the farm. You mentioned telly. You've got a part, it's Countryfell, isn't it? You've got like a sort of set.
Yeah, the
Tell us about
young farmer diaries. Oh, that's pretty cool. I can't remember how it came about. Yeah, I can't remember how it came about. But yeah, so working with our country farm to sort of show the journey of young farmers in farming and how sort of navigating life, talking about all sorts, even with how. When just before Noah was born, after he was born, I went through a phase of not featuring because I just wasn't in headspace. And I remember when we were talking about coming back and doing the episode, the people behind the scenes at Countryfile said to me, "Look, you need to sh share, or if you're okay with it, share everything about it. Don't just talk about the good stuff. You need to so people understand that when you see a farmer, it's not just them." Just being in a tractor or cute lambs or
showing the
keeping
papers.
there's a shit behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see or don't show. So yeah, it's quite good that they give me that opportunity to share that with the public. And yeah, like the help I get with or tips you get from with like editing, because obviously I've got a YouTube as well. The help you get with the editing, some of the little tips, man, are just second to none. So yeah, I'm very thankful of the people I work with at Country Fire.
So when you're doing that, are you doing all the filming and sending it in yourself and then they put it on? Is that
Yeah.
how? And do they
Yeah,
send
so
it kit or are they happy with like an iPhone or whatever it is you've got?
oh mate, my phone, I think from the way it's been going, BBC might change to Samsung phones to film with because I've had good feedback with it. I think when did that feature with Adam, that it came down to the farm initially when we first moved here. He came down with someone or two people that came and actually filmed. But most of the time, I just film on my phone. I've got tripods. I've got like a body,
Oh,
not
yeah.
body cam, but like a body harness thing that I could put my phone on. But I don't trust it because it wobbles like hell. And that trusting my luck, it'll fall in the mud and the pigs will have it. So I don't tend to use the body cam when I'm around the pigs. But yeah, so I just get told sort of what. I'd say what ideas I think I want to do for a particular episode, and then you pitch it, and then you say, "Oh, maybe let's add a bit at the, but add a bit at the start, add a bit at the finish, maybe add a bit, little bit in the middle," and yeah. So, and I tend to use it on my YouTube as well. So obviously they've got like a 4 or 5 minute segment of there, whereas I probably filmed like 6, 40 minutes, so I can trim it down to like 15, 20 minutes for YouTube. They can take their bit, and then once it's been aired, then I can put it on YouTube after.
It's the quality on. I'm an Apple guy, and it's not in really against Samsung. I just sort of like the ecosystem, but the quality on the top-notch smartphones now, in particular Samsung and iPhone, is just like it's camera quality from 5 years ago, like better than. It's like it's insane. Yeah, which is it makes it's a thing we have anyway, and maybe to get the sort of the best one is an extra 200 quid, and when you're making it anyway, like you. It just feels like the right thing to do, because of
Yeah, I
quality.
think until I start making money from it, I'm not going to invest in a lot, because you think, like, as much as I want to get a GoPro, GoPro's what, 300, 400 quid? That's like nearly 2 ton of pig feed. Why would I buy a
I
GoPro?
genuinely don't think the quality is as good as. I haven't used many Samsungs, in fairness, but I don't think it's as good as my 15 Pro Max. I genuinely don't. I just don't think it is. I think GoPro will be having quite a challenge, actually, because when I debated doing YouTube for a while, I spoke to Cammy, like Cammy Wilson. I was like, "What's the best camera?" And he's like, "What phone do you have?" And I was like, "I don't know, at that time, probably a 13 Pro Max." And he's like, "You're not getting better than that for less than a grand." And it's like that's the mad GoPro must be having a major issue. Like, they went from being the camera for filming quality, and now it's not really the case anymore.
And also, I think like with the editing, I still edit on my phone. And I've tried editing on a computer and I can't get on with it. Like sometimes I want to zoom down to the frames and cut something small on a computer. I might get used to it in future, but on the phone, I can literally do it when I'm chilling in bed. If I get up at 3 in the morning and I can't sleep, I can just edit on my phone. I don't have to get the laptop out.
Yeah, I'm the
So,
same. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm filming this at the minute on a MacBook, not Pro, what's this, Air. And I got it because I was like, oh, it'll probably move up my edit and stuff and whatnot. I purely use it for this and doing laptop stuff. I never use it for editing. Phones are perfect for it. Like, unless you're creating like a extremely intricately edited thing on Premiere Pro, you do not need a laptop or a computer. What was the one thing I was going to ask you? Yeah, so obviously, I'm doing the scholarship, but you've done a scholarship as well. It's the Oxford Farming Scholar, isn't it? Is that right?
Oh
Oh,
yeah,
like,
that's it.
yeah.
I did that.
What was that
The
like? That looked
ins
pretty cool.
so I did the Breaking Barriers one, which was it Thebe doing it at the time? No, it wasn't Thebe. Thebe, it does it now, but back then it was a lady called Barbara Bray. And yeah, if it wasn't for her, I didn't even know it was a thing. She messaged me on Twitter, and so definitely thankful for her for that. That was very good because, annoyingly, because it was in lockdown, we couldn't really do many things. I got to be on a Zoom with Princess Anne, which was pretty sick.
Okay, yeah.
And then I actually ended up meeting her in person a couple of years later. I with the Inspire group, which I went on from the Breaking Barriers scholarship to the Oxford Farming Conference Inspire group, which is pretty cool. I think you just like the group I had, I made some good friends, and they just get put in situation that you'd never be in, like going to Oxford Uni and staying there. I wouldn't have done that. Like now, I could tell now when he's older. Yeah, I went to Oxford.
They
I
don't need
went
to see
to
much
Oxford.
more.
I stayed there for 2 nights. I was hanging like hell. I don't even remember what room I stayed in, but I went to Oxford. So no, it's a good experience. And if you're ever in Oxford, there's a club or a bar that is run by I think it's I can't remember what the guy is from, but the lady is Kenyan. And the first night we went there after the first night of the Oxford Farming Conference, we sort of the bar, I think the pub shut quite early. We were looking for somewhere, went in there, and this place stayed open till like one. And then they're like, I said to them, can we come back tomorrow? They said, yeah, we'll stay open longer. So the next day, I had one of my loud suits, the orange one. And so I did like a little talk for the Breaking Barriers lot with Thebe. Jenna Ross, and there's about 50 of them. So after I was like, right, I know a spot. So it was literally like Moses leading people to get across the Red Sea. I was like, all these people follow me. Like, oh yeah, Flav knows where we're going. We turned up and filled this place up. I think we didn't leave there till like 3 in the morning. It was so good
Here,
on
hope
a
you had
Wednesday
free
night.
drinks, man.
Huh?
Hope you were
Oh
getting free drinks.
yeah. I got ruined with some free shots. It was so good, man. So good.
Jenna Ross's class as well. I just contacted Jenna this morning about having her on the pod.
Jenna is amazing.
Yeah. They've just started up, I think she was involved with the McRobert Trust actually, with Inclusive Farm.
Yeah, I saw that with the guy that does the pig farming.
Yeah, I can't remember.
What's his name? I can't remember his name, but I know him as the blind pig farmer.
Is it Mike?
Yes, Mike. Mike starts with D. His son is starts with D.
Is it like Duxbury or something like that?
That's it. I remember seeing an episode on a program with him, and he was there with his partner, and these pigs are walking past, and he's feeling their backs, and he knew which ones they were, man. I was like,
See,
that
that's just
is,
phenomenal talent, like
that's insane.
Mike Duxbury, not quite
That's
Duxbury,
it.
yeah, but yeah. Phenomenal, yeah, really cool. Really cool to just really contact him, he'd be a good story. So that actually a question because I've never been. I've had Will Evans, who's the president, I think is the term this year. What is
Director.
the director? Is that what he is? Director. What is the conference like?
Conference, right? Honesty is the best policy.
Go for it.
The conference, I personally, I didn't feel like I fit in there, but it was an experience. I would potentially go again, but looking at it financially, you're looking at the cost of the tickets. Does it make sense to spend that money to go to such a conference? Personally, no. Because the networking and the people that I can meet them elsewhere. I can contact them on social media and say, look, can I come to your farm? Blah blah blah. Because and also compare I did a direct comparison with the Oxford Veal Farming Conference because I did a talk there whilst I was at OFC, and even the vibe is just completely different, man. Like I walked from and they're only like 10 minutes away. So I
Yeah, I
walked
get that.
from OFC to go do this talk at the Real Farming Conference, and it's just so much more chilled. There's no, you don't feel like people are looking at you like, oh, what are you doing here? Like they even had a creche there, so young families like myself and Nikki, if we wanted to go, why should I go and Nikki stays at home with the kids? Like we could both go, put Noah in the creche. We go to a talk, come back, check him, give him milk or whatever, go to another talk. And I think that's much more welcoming and inclusive than I think for me, and I'm not that type of person. I think OFC was a bit too corporate for me. and not taking away the opportunities I was given by OFC, and it's the thing we were talking about earlier, two things can exist at once. Yeah, I just found it way too corporate. Like even a creche thing, like you have people there, or if you can't make it if you don't have childcare, then what? So yeah, for me, I think if I had enough money in future, I'd probably go again. But as of now, I've experienced it once. I don't think I need to go again to experience it again. So yeah.
And when you're saying you felt like you were being looked at, were you purely talking skin color there?
Yeah, mainly, obviously.
That's
Like,
mad.
yeah,
But
I stick out
that
like a
wasn't the
sore.
case at the real farming conference.
No, well, I'm not the only one there. You got Asians, you've got people that are like mixed. So at the Oxford Farming Conference, when I was there was me, there was my friend Wonga, there was also key people from the Breaking Barriers. It was me, there was Wonga, there was Hakim, there's another girl, I can't remember her name. There's an Asian lad. Was there another black guy? Yeah, there was another black guy. I can't remember his name. So I'd say they're easily less than a dozen non-white people there.
Right, okay, yeah.
Okay, even
That...
at a push, just in case, let's say 20 max. So you do get looked at like that. And I know
wasn't
people's.
there branding diversity last year? Wasn't that the brand,
Oh,
the term?
so I went the year before the diversity.
Okay, even still, I mean,
True.
yeah.
But I think like that, Will, that's quite good of Will to do that because he needed it. And he still probably needs diversity as a theme for like 3 years solid. Because you still, like even now in 2024, you look at some of the discussions I have with people on Twitter. I'm like, you are genuinely so thick. You can't have brain cells between your ears. It must be like potato peelings or something. Because people still to this at this now, Thib will put a tweet about talking about diversity stuff, like when he goes and does talks. And I'm always there because I know like my personality and Thib's personality, I'd say I'm fine being quiet and chilling, but if someone starts moving mad, I'm gonna say something. Whereas Thib isn't sort of that provocative like I would be. So every time I see Thib put something up, I'll share it first before I even look what it is because I trust and I
Yeah.
have that much belief in him that I'll back him to the end. So every time I see he's put something up, there's people you can put money on that they're gonna put something on there. And it's always like, oh well, why do we need to do this? They never come in. So let's say they talk about it negatively once and you discuss it, and then you hope the next time the same topic comes up again, they'd at least have picked like 2 grams of knowledge from the last conversation that they're going to bring in. They start afresh.
Yeah.
So it gets to a point you think, look, you're thick as shit, sit in a corner. I don't want to hear what you're saying. Keep your noise to yourself. And yeah, it's a shame to be talking about it in 2024 because even at the moment with the unrest going on in farming, worldwide actually, not just here, just India, Canada, Europe, Wales. I sit back and ask myself that why is it that now farmers are protesting? Why are these so-called right-wing, far-right people? Why are they latching on? Why are they jumping on the protest? Because when train drivers were protesting, I didn't see Nigel Farage retweeting them. When nurses were protesting, and I was in London one of the days the nurses walked past are protesting and junior doctors, I didn't see any far right people among them because guess what? Half of those people protesting aren't English. They're all from all sorts of the world. But when you look at farming, because it's got such low diversity, it's so easy for these groups that are from dregs and caves around the country to pop in and say, oh, let's support farmers. We're going to do this for farmers and jump on. And because some farmers are so desperate, anyone that supports you, like, oh, cheers, mate. Thanks for the support. Let's go together. And then that just makes you look stupid. Because if me, I'm as a consumer, yes, I want to support farmers, but do I want to support a farmer that's getting retweeted by Nigel Farage? No, I won't. Even as a farmer myself, do I want to support a farmer that when we're protesting about supply chain fairness, we're together, but when it comes to Suella or whoever trying to send people to Rwanda, that same farmer will probably be voting Suella to do that. Why would I do that? So it's deeper than just.
I hope you've kicked your feet up and got comfy and enjoying another fantastic episode of the R2Cast with another really interesting guest. I would just like to quickly take another second to plug the sponsors of the show today, the Scottish Farmer, and I would strongly advise you to go out and pick one up this week and see even more of the fantastic people that are in our industry.
And can I just say something on that? With I
Yeah.
always say her surname wrong, I apologise. Suella Bravenham, I think.
Yeah.
This thing of deporting to Rwanda, their policy for how to house and assist people into society, whether that's people coming in, people from struggled backgrounds, immigrants, forced immigrants, whatever, is so much better than this country. I was there and I saw it, and the effort they put in is. So basically what I'm saying is I think they might actually want that, you know, it's obviously an exaggeration, but like I think it's embarrassing that a country like the UK that should be, let's be serious, it should be in the top five countries in the world at offering anything, whatever we're talking about, it should be good. It is not, it's so not, and that's scarily worrying.
Especially when the same country went around the whole world damaging and doing all sorts of madness. Now, the same countries you visited and pillaged and stole from, they're coming here to add to your fucking economy because I'm not here sapping the economy. I'm adding to it. So is my family, and so are many other people from all these countries Britain colonized. So when you've got these narrow-minded morons chopping up about sending back to their country, they're sapping their country more than us immigrants are or expats, because I get called an immigrant here. When you go to Kenya, you're an expat. I'm a fucking expat here as well. So so for me, it's got to a stage now, especially being a dad to a kid that's mixed race. He's literally a fifth black as I am. If you look at him briefly, you think, oh, that's just a tanned child. He's going to be seen as black. And I don't know at what point I'm going to have this conversation with him, but I'm going to tell him, son, you're light, but you are black. To someone that's racist, you are a black person, and you need to know that. So for me, that energy I had before having Noah, it's through the roof now. It's in space. So there's no way I'll stand for any of that shit. Anyone it is, we're going to get to the death. Like, I've got no room for it at all.
How sad is it that you're looking at what is not even a 5 month old, is that right? 6 month old? And
Yeah.
you're trying to work out how you can tell him what you've just said in the UK in 2024. That
It's mad.
I don't actually, I feel like, what's that term? I read it once, journalistic inadequacy. I have no ability to say how I think that is. Like, mad is what keeps springing to mind, but I feel like there's got to be something better to say than mad. Like, it just, I
So
hate that that's the case.
we saw a podcast with my friends, which we've paused a bit because of life and stuff, called Black Lives Living. And we used to talk about these issues because my other friends from Ghana, South Africa, Uganda, Zimbabwe, we all came here as sort of young people, teenage or early teens. One of us, I was born in London, but we talk about the positives of living in the UK whilst highlighting the negatives. And we did an episode about, when would it be right to talk to your child about racism, or when did our parents talk to us about racism? And yeah, like you say, a 5 month old, I'm already in my head, I'm already thinking, like, if at any point it was to. So when was it? Just a slight tangent. I remember I was at a barber's getting my hair cut, and there was a white guy there with his mixed race son, and he asked, and his son got, I think it's like year seven, year eight, year seven, I think he was going to a new school. And he got asked, oh, what haircut do you want? He said, oh, I'll have this because the school might kick off if I have this haircut. And I was like, what?
Haircut.
Yeah. Another time, a child came in and he had, what was it? I think he had big, like, what's that musician? Is it Boney M? You know, that was
Obviously,
like
don't. I'm the worst person to do musicians, man. Like, I've got no
proper
chance.
like proper Jackson 5, Jackson 5
Okay.
Afro.
Yeah.
This school told this kid to cut the hair. I will literally, if that kid's hair is affecting his education, then we'll talk about it. But you telling a black kid to change his hairstyle because it doesn't suit your stupid school's policy, I'll take the kid out of that school.
Yeah, man,
Honestly,
I completely agree. Yeah, completely.
I'd get arrested because it's nuts. So it, like, amongst other things going on in life or whatever, personally, little things like that, you just have in the back of your mind because you know they're going to become a thing or an issue at some point in future. And that's why I keep pushing for both sets of society, be it the farmers and the urban city dwellers or the ethnic minorities, to just be as one as much as possible, because we're here to stay. I'm not just gonna rush off back to Kenya because some idiot from some farm in a village somewhere is telling me, oh, get out of my country. I'm not doing that. So, and there's
But
still
this
people
is your
coming in.
country. This is your country now as well. This is
Yeah.
why
So,
is it? Why is this a thing that it's like? Yeah, I just that I don't get that part. Like the world is so accessible. I'm flying to Brazil for a week, like a week, not a year, a week. The world is so accessible. Why are we in a stage where fucking hell, you can be anywhere within 24 hours, and we can't accept that it's more than just the person with the same color skin, the same surname as me in this country. Like, it's mad to me. I can't.
So I sometimes say to people, some of these narrow-minded people we're talking about, I say to them, as much as you think that because I'm from Kenya or a country that's seen as developing or third world,
Hate that
the
word. Hate the
UK,
word developing.
yeah, the UK is developing. Or because how if the UK is developed, some of the stuff you see here, I've seen more. Probably more homelessness here than I saw when I was growing up in Kenya. Even mad people walking on the streets with bags of rubbish on their backs, they had houses to live in, or they had shacks to live in. Like, you see people in London outside, sleeping outside, Brighton, and all these other cities. So I say to people, you look at someone because of their color and they're from an African country or Caribbean or Asian country. Said, like, example, Kenya. There are Kenyans that fly on a Friday. They'll get on a flight in Nairobi, land in London Saturday, go to Emirates, watch Arsenal, and they're back to work on Monday. So those people you're looking at because they're black, you think, oh, they're poor. There's people out there that are living a better life than you here, walking around the streets saying you should go back, whatever, whatever. So I think it's just exposure. It's just about exposure.
And see the term developing. I said I hate that term. That's actually not the term I hate. The term I hate is developed, because countries like the UK, US, whatever come under that. And I've said this a million times. Let's say we are, in quotation marks for those listening, Flav can see it, no one else can, developed. Do we just fucking stop? Like, is that it? Are we developed? Right, we're done. Because if this is developed, then I'm going somewhere else. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mud.
There's a lot. There's a lot to go through these days in society. Like, I'm not surprised you're having young kids, young teenagers struggling with mental health, because like when I was growing up, or even when you were growing up, life was so simple, man. I remember if it was raining, you just leave your bag at school, take your shoes off, and walk in the rain, get drenched. It's 28 degrees. And when I was going to Kenya, like, pick fruits on the way, come to school the next day with nice clean clothes, come early so you can get the mangoes and fruits before your class. Life was so easy. Now, as a teenager, you've got social media, you've got smartphones, you've got to worry about cybersecurity, all sorts of stuff.
I mean,
So, yeah.
28 degrees was not my reality, it must be said. But what my thing was like, we own a burn on our farm. I'd just jump in the burn and have it. Like,
that's what we done, or we went and played football or whatever. And I was also of the age that gaming came in at not a ridiculously old age, like that sort of 11, 12, 13. And I know fine well I like gaming, and to this day I do, but that changed my childhood negatively, hands down. And I guess you're not saying childhood at 13, 14, 15, but it's yeah, man, it's here to stay. It's going to get more. Have you seen folk walking around with the Apple Vision Pro soon enough? They won't even be living their own reality. It'll be something, yeah, which is scary. But you've jumped into a new world yourself, love. You're now a podcaster. Started, well, you said I'm not to say podcaster, but
No,
you
not
started a
yet, not
podcast
yet.
with Neil Barrett, and is it Chris Dickinson? I don't actually know
Chris
Chris.
Dickinson, yeah, Chris, yeah, he's a good lad. I think you'd get along with him.
I'm actually looking, I'm going to bring him on the pod as well, and then I've got all three on.
He's good.
So tell us about that. What's the reason behind
So
that?
three-pronged is actually initially I spoke about it with Chris when we were because we were part of the or he still is. I said I've given up with NFU Next Gen program. And yeah, I just got fed up with it. So I think I'm yet to send an official email to say that I don't want to do it anymore. But in
On
my
the
head,
pod
I'm
now,
out.
man. It's on
Yeah,
the
in my
pod
head, I'm out. And yes, we were just talking about it. So thinking, because every time we met up, we were always the ones that stood out in the fact that our opinions were like, right, this is what we think. We'd say what we thought, because sometimes you have a meeting, 10 of you, and then people say their piece. Then you go out for the meeting, and you have people whispering, like, oh, and I'm like, why didn't you say that in there?
Yeah,
So,
man,
whereas
agreed.
like me and Chris would just say, like it was, like, I can remember when they're trying to scrap the next gen thing, we got called up to Stanley Park. We met with Minette, and I can't remember the name of the other lady that was there. And yeah, me and Chris would just, it's like, look, like if you don't want next gen, that's fine, but tell us because I've got other shit to do. I'm not just sat at home bored looking to be given work by NFU. So, I'm passionate about this. I want to help it. But if you're not taking on my help or my views, I'm out. And Chris is the same. So we thought, oh, actually, let's start a podcast. And then I was talking to Neil about the same stuff. And I said, actually, hang on, why do I just bring these two together? Luckily, they get along. And yeah, so that's how it was. We started recording probably towards the end of summer last year. And then obviously we had no other things happen that we just delayed. But now, after the Welsh protest, we got Johan on, and we're like, right, okay, we have to do it now. So after that, we've sort of hit the ground running. We're just gonna shell them out and just keep going. Hopefully, we don't stall again.
You've done two already, I see, man. They're pretty rapid. And
Yeah.
Johan's video of him in the tractor is in. I think we're speaking about editing and stuff like that. It's just a raw video that gets such an important message across.
Yeah.
Insane. I had Johan on the podcast and met him at the Highland Show. He's a great guy. Just
Yeah,
speaks.
Johan's good. He's not someone you want to be around if you don't drink.
But I
He
see
loves.
I. I could still drink him under the table if I wanted to try. You are, if you're listening, man.
He loves the session. He absolutely loves the session.
Did he tell you his story with his? I'm showing my bicep to Flav, but with the snake on his bicep, the tattoo.
No,
Oh
he's not
man, you
talking
got to ask
about
him
that.
about him. You got to
I'll
ask him.
ask him. I'll
He's so
ask him. I'll
scared of
just
snakes.
message him in a minute now,
He got
actually.
that. He's got it here, and he can do like the SpongeBob thing.
Ah, really?
It doesn't really do it in fairness, but he's got it there. So, yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Here, see, when you said Wonga, is it Matuba Tuba?
Yeah,
Wonga Matuba.
Wonga Matuba,
He's an
yeah.
interesting guy, man.
Have you met him before?
No, but Becca and Lizzie filmed with him.
Yeah, nah, Wonga's really good, man. Like, yeah, I see him as a brother actually, because I remember he messaged me when I was at Newlands. He messaged me to sort of do no, when I was still at Plumpton, he messaged me to get work experience. And I said, where I am, I'm leaving soon, but I'll get you sorted for where I go to.
Okay.
And yeah, he came to Newlands, and they pretty much took him on as the same way they took me back in 2010. Like when he was at Hartbury, they'd go pick him up. He did stay at the boss's house and stuff like that. And yeah, he's working now with a friend of mine from the Oxford Farming Conference Inspire.
Right,
So
okay.
Greg runs a dairy farm in Shropshire, and he's managed to get Wonga and Wonga's friend TK to work there. So yeah, Greg's got two South Africans working with him there. But if you get Wonga on here, he's good. He's a good lad, and when he wants to be, he's got a good head on his shoulders.
When he wants to be.
If you sit him down and talk to him like this, he's got a good head on his shoulders. Put alcohol in there, and he starts joking around too much.
Oh, good. Here, do you know what's been really fun, man? Jesus Christ, already been over an hour. That flew by. We sat down for an hour once before and we chatted. I think we were on the phone for about 2 hours when we originally phoned that first time.
Yes,
Filmed the podcast for an hour here. And I could genuinely co keep going for another hour, very much conscious that I have another podcast to film in about 10 minutes. But I'm going to ask you the same two questions, Flav, I asked you 3 years ago, and I will be honest, I have not went back and listened, but it'd be quite interesting for those listening to go back and listen to number four. Sorry. Yep, number four. I'm very conscious that my exes is like number three, so I don't want to send them to the wrong one. where are we?
Oh
Number
shit.
four. Number four. So go back and watch Flav's first story at number four, and then see how this compares. But I asked you then, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And if you had any advice for people going into agriculture, what would they be? It would be interesting to see where you see yourself in 5 years now, and if you had any advice for folk going into agriculture.
When I would I see myself 5 years now?
You'll have a
I'm
five-year
hope
plan, man. That's mad.
yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that we'll have got a little bit of finance behind us to get our own place. That will be ideal. But if not, I want to have a business here that both me and Nikki can be fully employed by, and even have employees here, excluding Noah because his default is in already. And to allow me to go off and do other things. So I'm thinking if I can get, I think the farm I can easily get people to get involved with that without too much going wrong. And then in future, well, I want to do like catering on the farm, so like supper clubs, hoping to get like a butchery on the farm as well in future. So yeah, all those aspects I want them to be flying. Also, I want to hopefully have set up something back in Kenya. My dad probably would have retired by then, so he can be in charge of the stuff back home there. And my sister and Nikki and I hoping to build somewhere at the coast. So like in the winter, we can disappear and go and chill and look at Indian Ocean and enjoy some good sun. Advice for younger people, I'd say trust yourself. Whatever you want to do, no one else knows it more than you. And that's not saying that like you're an expert in what you're going to do, but in terms of the plan, if I've got a plan in my head, yes, there'll be people that can advise me on how the plan can go well or can work or not. But in terms of the thing you want to do, if you don't believe in yourself, why should anyone else believe in you? So just back yourself, trust your process. It's if it's too easy and it happens too quick, it could go too quick as well. So yeah, trust the process. Stay in your lane. Don't worry about too much what other people are doing either side of you. You can have a look just to benchmark every now and again, just for some friendly competition or just competition. Nothing wrong with competition, but don't base your progress on what other people are doing on their in their lanes. And any young people coming into farming, push for inclusivity, man. Whatever color you are, whatever gender you are or sexuality, push for inclusivity, because if it doesn't affect you, it affects someone else. And if you can make someone else feel good about themselves or feel accepted, do it. Because in the long run, it will come and bite you on the ass.
I said something to Thieb when we filmed Flav that when I was in Tanzania, yes, Tanzania,
Yeah, it was Tanzania. It wasn't Rwanda. It was we went to a life-changing orphanage, just to see that reality was both humbling, heartwarming, heart-chilling, everything. And I don't know if you saw, but I had a video of me dancing with some of these lovely, lovely kids. And over the next few weeks, or next 2 weeks, I'd basically based my social media around completely indulging myself in all things Tanzanian and then Rwandan culture. And there was a comment, and I said this to Thebe, and it really jumped out at me, where it said, "You're so good at being involved with these people." And I was like, "The fuck do you mean by these people? What does that mean?" I genuinely mean it though. Like it's like a thinly veiled compliment where they've been like, "Oh, you're amazing at this, dealing with these to them obviously different people." And I'm like, and that I really started to think of that comment, and I was like, that was a comment that got 5 or 6 likes that I think, and I'm not gonna say they weren't being nice. I think they were to me being nice, but there were the underlying current there that I don't think they realized just how mad that comment was pretty insane. And it's so true. Whether it's a thing that we're unfortunately never going to fix, and those that already have these opinions, then we need to start with those that are young, and we need to get that mentality change, man, because we're only going to keep undeveloping if come back to our early conversation if we stay on that route. So no, good ones, very good ones. Thanks, man. And yeah, thank you as always, and thank you again for coming on.
Cheers, man.
Pleasure as always to talk. I'm here. We'll have to get you up to Aaron sometime.
Yes, I will. Yeah, I will come up and see you again in 3 years for another episode.
Yeah, here we are, 2027, man. That'll be fantastic. For
Oh,
those
mate.
of you listening, I hope you've enjoyed the third installment of an interview with Flavian. If you want to go find the original written thing, right into Facebook, Rural to Kitchen, Flavian Obiero. Welcome up. It's probably awful. It was my first ever attempt. I even write in it. I didn't know this is how you spell journalist. So that was fun. I don't know why I remember that, but I always remember writing that. Yeah, so thank you as always for coming and listening. That's been number 186. The last episode we had was Dan Smith talking all things Nuffield. And the next episode we have, I don't know. There's a few folk in the pipeline. But nothing sort of organized yet because we're about a month ahead. So thank you as always for listening. And we'll see you for number 187 with whoever that was with. See you then. I hope you've enjoyed another excellent episode of the R2 Cast as much as I have, and I would just like to quickly thank our primary sponsors of the show today, Howden Rural, the new name for A-Plan Rural. If you follow Howden Rural on social media, you'll see the plethora of work that they do to support this sector, and it's been a pleasure to work alongside them so far, and long may it continue. For more information about them, be sure to check out howdeninsurance.co.uk/rural, and I'll see you for the next episode.